Welcome to Two Songs, One Couple, where a geeky metalhead husband swaps songs
with his nerdy country girl wife. Grab a drink, get comfy, and join us on our musical chat. Hi.
Hello there, sir.
By the way, hello.
And good morning.
Happy November.
Happy November.
End of the year.
Right? Where did the year go?
I don't know.
What?
But it's gone.
What the shit?
Goodbye 2022, sort of.
2022 wasn't all that bad.
Yeah, it was okay.
Shit, knock on wood. There's still a little bit of time left.
Knock on wood. Touch wood.
There you go. So, what have you been up to, sir?
What have we been up to, actually, huh? We saw some musics. Live music.
We did see some live music, and I stayed awake for it.
Amazing. Up first was Kendrick Lamar at the end of August.
Oh, that was amazing. That was great, a really good show. Yeah. It was like both visually appealing and musically appealing.
I just don't know how a person can remember all those words.
Yeah.
So many words.
Lots of fast words too.
Yeah, I don't think he messed up once.
Probably not.
As far as I could tell.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cool. It was his dancers were cool and
It was like, more like modern dance versus like hip hop or like the typical dance that you would dancers that you would see at like a concert. So Kendrick Lamar was amazing, but more recently we saw Mars Volta.
Yeah, we did just see them. It's like 2 days ago. It was 3 days ago. I don't know how long it's been since they've been together, so I want to say about 10 years.
Damn, really?
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
I think their last album was 2010s, but then they decided to reunite, and they recorded and released a new album, and the album's okay. It's their version of a pop record, so like The Widow, but like an entire album of it, but not as good as The Widow.
So you're saying I might like it.
Yeah, you might like it. There's not much prog in there. A lot less jamming. There is some of their signature, like, you know, Latin sounds.
Ooh, okay.
Puerto Rico and Mexico. Their influence shines in all the music they do.
Nice.
You know, with them reuniting, I thought it would be heavy on the new record, but it really wasn't.
Yeah.
They played maybe 3 songs off of the new record, and then everything else was off of their first 2 albums, which is what everyone loves.
Yeah.
So that was smart.
Like, I love their older shit. But yeah, concerts were fun this year.
Yeah, I'm glad they're back. I'm glad they're back.
All right. Well, let's dig in.
Our theme for this episode is to celebrate and acknowledge Trans Awareness Week. And that takes place on November 13th through November 19th. It is a week leading up to Transgender Day of Remembrance. And that day is meant to memorialize those that have been murdered due to transphobia. It's specifically founded in 1999 by small group. They wanted to memorialize the murder of transgender woman Rita Hester in Alston, Massachusetts. I don't know much about this case, but apparently it was a big enough case to be a catalyst for this movement, to be a catalyst for this Transgender Day of Remembrance and Awareness Week.
I don't even remember hearing about that.
It was probably relatively local news because it's in Boston, number one. Number two, it was a transgender woman. Probably didn't have that much coverage from the media, especially in the 90s.
Yeah. Well, even now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's getting a little bit better. Like, I think the trans movement is getting a little bit more support than it did before.
Mm-hmm.
It's about damn time.
Yeah, right? For sure.
Yeah, so I'm excited today to dig in a little bit, and I enjoyed doing a little bit more research. It was flipping hard, I'm not going to lie. It was pretty hard to find a trans artist that was country and that was on Spotify. Like all three of those was a little bit tough.
Yeah.
But I'm happy we did it because it was kind of fun researching and seeing who's out there and what may be surprising to a few people.
It's tough to find trans artists. They're not as visible as others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another point to that is, at least in the extreme music or extreme metal or whatever you want to call it, outsider music, I mean, if you're going to do extreme metal, you're not going to get much recognition in the first place. And if you're a trans artist, it's even less so. So it's very tough.
Yeah, but don't you think that like the metal listeners are a little bit more accepting of fellow quote unquote outsiders?
For the most part. there is a minority that are total dickholes. They just want metal to be the same.
But I think in general, the metal community, because it feels like it's searching for community amongst fellow people who have felt pushed out of society, mm-hmm, right? Or mm-hmm. judged, or, you know, mm-hmm. just at one point, for whatever reason, they feel like an outsider in society. And because of that, I feel like it's a little bit more accepting, mm-hmm. even though it looks harsh. So tell me about what you've chosen today. Submission or court of religion is born as part of the system. I see the holy scriptures, politics on the women, prodigies and ambition, the fallacies are forgiven. I see lost in addiction, exile for my sisters, colonies and division, robbing me of my addiction. I feel love and betrayal, prophecies will be living, cause harmony is replaced with atrocity. All these bitches I probably never visit, far reaches from kitchen. Part of me starts to miss him, so part of me in these lyrics, the artistry that I'm given, ghosted up in the matrix, almost like I was anxious while posted up.
The song I have for you is by Back X Wash. It's called I Lie Here Buried With My Rings and My Dresses, and it features Ada Rook. It's from the album of the same name, released in 2021. Yeah, what did you think of the tune?
Yeah, so this tune kicks your ass from the beginning to the very end. It was a little bit surprising, because when we were talking about this show, you're like, oh yeah, I chose like industrial hip hop
yeah.
song for you. And I was like, ew, no. I was like, I don't want to listen to noise. Because that's, you know, that's my bias. That's what comes to my mind when you say industrial hip hop. But it was not that. It like starts off with this really, really heavy kind of grating metal sound. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then it quickly transitions into this hip hop rap sound.
Yeah.
And so that to me was a little surprising. Mm-hmm. And then when I listened to it a little bit more, it started to like really click. There are a whole lot of beep bop boops in there, like
yeah.
beep bop boop bop. Yeah,
that's bop. The industrial part.
Mm-hmm. Which I was like, oh, okay. But I feel like they like kind of hinted at that. They used that and then they quickly absorbed that into the larger sound of the music. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like full on metal sounds all the time.
Yeah.
So the rap portion of the song is like very hard hitting and almost spitting mad, right? Mm-hmm. It's slow rap, so it's not super, super fast like Tech N9ne or some other rapper. Mm-hmm. It's a little slower, but it's like you can just tell that they're really mad. Like they're hitting the words really hard.
Yeah, yeah.
And it reminded me a lot of Busy Bone from the Bone Thugs. Uh-huh. I was just dying to get them to do a raspberry during that song because I just loved it when Busy Bone in that one song, like he just ran out of words and was like, you know, and he's like, bah, 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 and so I just really wanted them to do that in this one, but they didn't. But yeah, like the hard hitting rap mixed in with this, like there's a screaming electric guitar sound that comes in and out. Mm-hmm. The drums are like a solid driving slow beat. It's not at the forefront of the music.
Yeah.
The scream and the growls are beefy. Like, I don't know, like, a better description for it. Like, mm-hmm. they're not even all that deep. They're a little bit high-pitched. Mm-hmm. It works in combination with that, like, hard-hitting rap to really convey, like, a sense of longing for a release of something. Like, it just feels like throughout the song that they're pleading for some sort of release from what appears to be multiple things going on. I wasn't quite sure. I didn't get a full picture of the lyrics, and I didn't look it up. But the sense that I got, and you tell me if I'm wrong, but the sense that I got is that they're bringing up a whole bunch of different topics
yeah.
that are kind of eating away at them.
Yeah.
They mentioned like women's politics and they use the term abomination.
Uh-huh.
So I'm assuming that that refers to something that like is causing others to call them an abomination. Perhaps it's being trans.
Uh-huh.
But an addiction, racism, religion, like they yeah. mentioned a whole bunch yeah. of things that I was like, oh, okay, they're like pleading for some sort of release from that pain that is causing them. And I think the song did a really, really good job of conveying that dismay and anger. It was really, really good. So tell me a little bit, like, how did you find this band? How did you find this artist?
Okay, so Back Xwash, aka Ashanti Mutinta. She is Zambian / Canadian and a rapper from Montreal. She was born in Lusaka, Zambia. She moved to British Columbia at age 17. She studied computer science, so she's a nerd like me. She finished her studies and I think at the age of 18 came out as transgender. So that's a little background on the artist. And how I found her is through a rap group called Clipping. You know them?
Why you would know I them? Know them?
Of course you know them. David Diggs is the rapper for that group.
Oh, I do love David Diggs.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's David Diggs with two, I guess, producers, like Turners.
Yeah. Oh, is that the one where it's Candlesticks in the Dark?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. See, I don't know names of songs and artists,
guys.
Visions
of bodies being burned. So it's David Diggs is the vocalist or the rapper of that group. And
he was in Hamilton.
He was, but Clipping's way better. So I follow Clipping on Twitter. I would see their tweets and they tweeted about this artist. You know, they couldn't say enough good things about this artist, so I checked out Backwash. I was very impressed by the way she combined hip-hop, rap, horrorcore, industrial, and some metal all mixed up into this artist. It's amazing. Yeah, so that's how I found her, and I chose this song because this is my favorite song off of the album, and it features not only one, but two trans artists. The guest vocalist is Ada Rook.
Is that the rapper or the growler?
The growler / singer.
Oh, so the growler is the guest.
Yes.
And the rapper is
the artist.
Oh.
Yeah. So Ada Rook does the screams, the shrieking, kind of high-pitched, screamy parts. She probably known best for Black Dresses, a Canadian noise rock duo. I don't think they're together anymore. But she does, yeah, the screamy, and she does some clean vocals, very little clean vocals. So it almost sounds like three people. There's like these screamies, and in that, in the middle of that screamies, there's some like talky clean vocals.
Talky.
Like not again, or something like that. And then it goes back into screamies, and then the rap verses. But yeah, so you got two trans artists collaborating on this one track, and it is a great blend of metal and hip hop, and the metal community, as we talked about, has embraced this artist and embraced this record. Because it does have a lot of metal sounds to it. But also, like you said, we want to be more inclusive. And like we talked about, you see all different people at these concerts. Mm-hmm. Because it's outsiders from all different walks of life coming together for one community
outsiders goal. Unite!
Let's go! But when it comes to the lyrical content, you're absolutely right. It's just a bunch of different things that have pissed her off throughout the years. She grew up in religion, grew up in the church, but doesn't seem like she necessarily identified with it. She talks about the religion, system, politics on women, racism. She says racist bitches up in the north. A racist bitches up north, which is kind of the opposite of what we think, right? Because...
So are those the Canadians?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm like, up north? Isn't it the south that's racist as fuck? And it's like, oh wait, no. She's from Canada. That makes sense.
Okay, so the Canadian quote-unquote south is north?
I mean, all Canada is north, so.
No, but I mean, like their version of the South.
Oh, that would make sense, because further north you go, doesn't it get more remote and more?
Yeah, but it also gets more indigenous.
Oh, that's true too. Yeah, so it's a lot of struggles. I don't know much about Backwash, otherwise known as Ashanti. I don't know much about her, but based on this song and several of her songs, it sounds like she's went through a lot.
Yeah.
Being born in Africa, moving to a strange country in your teenage years.
That's tough.
Yeah, it's got to be tough. And I have no idea if she spoke English when she moved here. So that could have been a struggle. Being black, being trans, being from a different country, all those things combined must be, you know, somewhat rocky, a rocky life. But she's releasing it all in her music. And she's created amazing music with it. And,
yeah.
And I'm sure a lot of people are identifying and hearing her and saying, yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm struggling too.
That's a cornerstone of a great artist. They take their struggles and pour it into their art for others to relate to and to use as like a, you know, a catalyst for healing themselves.
Yeah.
Right. Or for mm-hmm. working through the, maybe not the same issues, but somewhat similar struggles that they can relate to.
Yeah.
Right. So that's like a, you know, a true sign of a great artist right there.
Mm-hmm.
So kudos. Your pain is now our art. Thank yeah. you.
I always like to quote Fantastic Negrito.
Mm-hmm.
In one of his songs, he says, take that bullshit and turn it into good shit.
There you
and
go.
And that's what Backwash has been doing. Okay, so what would you rate this song out of 5 Busy Bone Raspberries?
Yes! Sorry, I don't know what that noise was, but I love his raspberries. I would rank it 5 out of 5.
Wow.
I was very skeptical going in mm-hmm. because you said industrial, and I was like, no, no, noise. It grew on me a lot. The first listen was a little bit jarring because I didn't expect it to be as harsh as it was.
Uh-huh.
But like after the second and then subsequent listenings, it mm-hmm. really grew on me and I like it a lot.
Yeah.
I think it totally works. I think if or the next time that I'm pissed off, I could totally see myself reaching for this and playing it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, 5 amazing Busy Bone Raspberries.
All right, I did it. Yay.
Good job.
All right, let's move on. With my own 2 hands, I look around them bony trees and sunken cars. There's almost snow. Nobody knows nothing except with me and the crow. Do you know? But who am I? Change my life. Who am I to fuck with form? Who am I to weather a storm? But I go slow. I said goodbye to everyone I know. And one this guy named Joe. Just like that.
All right. So, like I spoke of during the intro, it was a bit of a deep research for me to try and find a trans artist in the country world, one that was trans and also that I liked. So, there are trans artists out there. I don't want it to seem like there's not. You know, finding one that I actually liked and that was on Spotify was a little tough. I dug deep. I found one. Yay!
Yay!
But I do want to throw out there that, you know, there are other trans artists in the country world in particular. The most, I think, wide known is Brody Ray.
Uh-huh.
He was on America's Got Talent and also, I think, American Idol. But I don't really like his music. I didn't want to choose him just because he was the most popular one
yeah.
and people
yeah.
would know.
Uh-huh.
Because I feel like even I would rank him like a 2 at most. Mm-hmm. And you would just shred him to bits. So instead, I chose Joe Stevens. So digging up information on Joe Stevens was a little tough, y'all. So I am piecing together things that I got from like news articles, like blogs, as well as their website.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be slightly out of date. It was a little bit tough getting information on Joe Stevens. The song is A Guy Named Joe from when Joe Stevens was in Coyote Grace.
Mm-hmm.
The version that I shared with you on Spotify was from a compilation CD called 3 Guys and 6 Strings, the Encore from 2012.
Okay.
So it's a live version. Okay. I couldn't find the recorded version on Spotify,
mm-hmm.
but it's actually an older song from their 2006 first studio album called Boxes and Bags. So what did you think?
First impression is like, I put the track on and there isn't much there. And then it sounds like he's tuning. I'm like, okay, what's going on? And then he just starts talking. I'm like, oh, so I didn't realize it was the live version. I thought it was a studio version.
Oh, yeah.
And so he's just talking. I'm like, oh, okay. Okay. Story time.
Yeah.
So I listen to his story and the music doesn't kick in until what? Like a minute in or yeah. a minute or two in?
Yeah.
Just him and a guitar and his voice. Very folky. Yeah, so it's just vocal and guitar. I wouldn't say there's anything special about the music, the composition. There's nothing like crazy about it. There's nothing special, unique. What is unique about it is the story that it tells. So the lyrics really help it a lot. If this was just a song without, and these words were different, I probably wouldn't pay any attention to it.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought I liked the melody.
But now that, you know, because there's a story behind it, and I am going to assume that the story is about the transition from female to male.
Yep.
That lifts it up a lot. It's kind of, I guess, normal or standard to have these kind of folky songs just be like, bleh, like the music is just just there. But it's the storytelling part that
is compelling.
Is really more, yeah, it's way more. It's what really makes these songs unique versus like the music.
I think that's a little harsh. I like the melody.
It's fine. But you replace the words and it's just like any other song.
I don't know. I chose it because of the melody before I listened closely to the
lyrics. Oh, is that right?
Yeah, because, well, if you don't like this song, you would have hated the other songs I was listening to where I was like, what the shit is this? I like the melody. I thought it, you know, it's more than a one note melody that you always shit all over.
Yeah, but still nothing like, I don't know. I've listened to it several times and the only thing I remember is I'm a guy named Joe. That's all. And then like at the end, he goes, rock and roll is music.
Yeah.
Rock and roll is music. Nah, 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 nah. Like, what is that? Why is that there?
I know. I agree. I wrote that down. I was like, this is fucking dumb.
Is it like a sing-along part or like what is going on there? It doesn't quite fit unless something part of his growing up where he was told rock and roll is not music or it's noise or it's the devil's music.
I don't think it's as deep as that. I feel like it's more like, well, shit, I need to end the song and I don't know quite how. So I'm just going to do an outro that try and get the crowd to sing with me. And yeah. It's kind of like tropey, mm-hmm. for lack of a better word.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. Like the ending is kind of shit and stupid. But the story and the lyrical content and the melody to me was beautiful. I don't care what you say.
Yeah, I can't sing the rest of it. I don't know it. It doesn't burrow its way. I've listened to it several times.
It's not a wormer.
Yeah, it doesn't burrow into my head.
Yeah, well, let's talk about it a little bit. So Coyote Grace, it started off as a street performer band in mm-hmm. Seattle. For this song, that might be where that whole like stupid outro may have come from.
Okay.
I need some tips now. So let's let's get some crowd involvement in it.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. The song is about his transformation from a female to a guy named Joe. But some of the lyrics that really stuck out to me. So it's, who am I to change my life? Who am I to fuck with form? Who am I to weather the storm? But I go slow. I said goodbye to everyone I know. And one morning I awoke and I was this guy named Joe.
Mm-hmm.
In a nutshell, that's his transformation. And the line, who am I to fuck with form, just so like spoke to me. I was like, wow, I've never heard it phrased in that way before. It rings like something that someone would really struggle with.
Yeah. To piggyback off of you, one of the lyrics I liked was, who am I to change my name? Some things will always be the same. And the reason why I resonated is because although he transitioned from female to male, name change, form change, still the same person inside.
Yeah.
But now their physical outside matches what's on the inside.
Yep.
But still the same person. Saying goodbye to old acquaintances. What is it? Old friends? I forgot. What was the lyric?
Goodbye to everyone I know.
Goodbye to everyone I know. Going through this transformation, going through this transition, I've had to let go of a lot of people in my life in order to do this for myself. And it's very, very brave. Very brave of him.
It really is. Because that's scary as shit.
Yeah.
And then he goes on to say, there really ain't no one to blame. Can't expect nobody living that pain.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you a little tidbit, a little view into what has to be like an extremely painful, scary time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought the lyrics were great. I thought the melody was great. Screw you, Peter. I like it. But yeah, so on their website, I got a little bit more information about Joe. So I'm just going to read it to you.
Okay. Welcome to this edition of Sam Reads the Internet.
All right. So Joe Stevens, whose gender transition resolved a lifetime of dissonance between being raised as female while identifying as male. Not without cost, Joe's transition closed some doors while opening many others and significantly informs his songwriting and performance. So that's kind of a much better way of saying what we were trying to convey.
Yeah.
So yeah, I thought like it was a great song. I really liked the artist. I like the folky sound of him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not surprised you don't like it. Yeah, so I wholly agree that the outro is shit. The whole rock and roll is music over and over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. So out of 5 shiny, shitful outros, how many stars do you give it?
If I was doing this on music alone, it'd probably be a 2, but...
2 shitty outros?
Two shiny shit outros, but a song is more than just the music, oftentimes, especially if there's vocals. So there's a big story that goes along with it. It's a kind of a vehicle to tell his story.
Yeah.
And adding in the lyrics and the story behind it, I would go 3.6 out of 5.
Oh, I feel like I just got a pity star right there.
No. I mean, just that the story is so... I mean, it's not a 4 because that rock and roll and music. No.
Yeah.
No, thank you. No, thank you. But 3.6 because the story is very compelling. And that's the thing that's most memorable to me is the story of this person transitioning and the struggles they've gone through. And the fact that the song is so personal to them. He says it right in the intro, like he'll never play a show without playing the song. It's how important it is. I can see why. And sharing that much vulnerability and pain and struggle every time they get on stage, you know, it's admirable. And so music okay, story great. I'm gonna jumble that all together, do some maths in my head, calculating 3.6 shiny shits outros out of 5. Let's go.
3.6, get the fuck out of here.
So let's wrap up. It is Trans Awareness Week once again, from November 13th to November 19th, leading up to Transgender Day of Remembrance. And yeah, we just wanted to spotlight some trans artists and
celebrate this part of our community. Yeah,
definitely celebrate a marginalized community that goes through a lot of struggles. And hopefully we can help change that in some little way. At least we're talking about it. I mean, that's a good step, but we could always do more.
Yeah, like just treat everybody with respect and kindness.
Yeah, you know, we could always do better. We could always do more than just talk about these subjects. You know, a quick Google search, you can find your local LGBTQIA center. We live in the Bay Area, so San Francisco has one, Oakland has one. When we recently talked to Mark and David, Mark mentioned the Amidala Initiative, and a bunch of Star Wars fans launched this campaign to raise funds for the trans youth in Texas. So check them out, Amidala Initiative. I'll link it in the show notes. I'll also link our local LGBTQ centers.
We also have a local nonprofit called Our Trans Home SF, which is a coalition campaign working to address and raise visibility of trans homelessness and housing instability within San Francisco and the Bay Area.
Yeah.
There's lots of ways that everybody can participate in Trans Awareness Week.
Mm-hmm.
Choose something that works for you, and we hope that you enjoyed this opportunity to kind of expand your listening choices, because I know we did. So. Yeah.
And it can even be just like pick up a book or watch a documentary. You don't have to put, you know, your wallet on the line if times are tough. You understand that. But just anything, any little thing helps.
Even just taking a moment to like think about the trans community and the fact that it exists.
Yeah.
Boom. Look at that. Listening to this podcast, you've done your job.
Let's go. All right, everyone.
Be nice.
Be nice to your fellow human.
Boom.
All right.
Boils down to that.
Okay, see you. Thank you for listening to Two Songs, One Couple.
If you like what you hear and you want more, find us on
Spotify,
Apple Podcasts,
twosongsonecouple.com,
Facebook,
Twitter,
and Instagram.
Thank you very much.
Bye. Rock and roll.
Thanks. Thank you. All right.
Num 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 num. Num 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 num. Row, 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 row.